Welcome into the Inside the NFL Prospects Podcast Series. I'm Jack Borowski, joined here alongside my co-host Brian Sternberg. On this episode, we are fortunate to have on Brandon Easterling. Brandon just finished his junior season as a top safety for the Dayton Flyer football team and is one of the top returning defensive backs in the country. Brandon, thanks for joining us on the podcast.
Thank you guys so much for having me. I've looked into your Instagram page and you guys seem to have a lot of activity going on, so it's really a pleasure.
Oh no, we appreciate you being on, and we want to start. Troutman was there. He's going to be an NFL prospect. We're looking at your tape. We see a lot of similarities in terms of someone who can play at the next level. But to start, let's talk about how you ended up at Dayton. What was the recruiting process like for you at a high school, and what made you decide to become a Flyer?
Yeah, so the recruiting process for me in high school is a pretty stressful one. You know, a lot of times in high school, you get guys who are clearly Division One, clearly Division Two, or clearly Division Three. And for some reason in high school, I seemed to attract about every single level possible. I had, you know, preferred walk-ons to FBS programs like Rutgers and OU. And then at the FCS Division One level, I had pretty much all of the Pioneer Football League, which is what Dayton's in right now. And I had preferred walk-ons to other scholarship programs. And then I got a lot of attention from Division II and Division III schools as well. And so it was a long, strung out process just trying to kind of figure out where I belonged. But I was able to narrow it down in terms of I always knew I wanted to play at the highest level possible, which was Division I. But I wanted to make sure I was going somewhere where I was really wanted. And so, you know, a preferred walk-on, although it's nice, it didn't make me feel like I was as wanted as somebody who's, you know, getting a scholarship. And so, you know, in Dayton, you know, they offered me, they made it clear from day one that, you know, I'd be a guy that they could see playing in the future. And so I definitely wanted to check out more about the campus, and being a local guy around this university, I kind of knew some things already about it. You know, when I got on campus, you know, the coaches and the players, they just kind of took me in. And from there, I just kind of fell in love with it.
And Brandon, going back to your high school days as an athlete, you not only played football, but you played basketball and you ran track. How would you say doing those other sports helped your development as a football player?
I'd say those sports helped me tremendously. You know, I'd always advise high school athletes to be multi-sport athletes. Just a simple, you know, the fact of training for football is nice, but, you know, something as simple as just not getting burnt out. And don't get me wrong, I love football, and it really is my life. It consumes every part of it, and I wouldn't change it for the world. But, you know, at that age, I think kids should always test around and just kind of see what they're good at, what they're not good at. And then, you know, for example, like track, I ran track solely to get faster for football because, you know, there's no better way to get faster than to just run. And so I think they all helped me in their own little way, and they were just fun. You know, that's a lot of what high school is about, is the experience. You obviously want to, you know, improve your body, improve your game to get where you want to be. And I knew I wanted to play college football, but I also wanted to make sure I was having fun. And, you know, basketball was, we were a really good basketball team in high school all 4 years. And it was just a really good thing to be a part of. And so I would advise any kid to be a multi-sport athlete in high school.
Brandon, you go from playing three sports, then college solely focusing on football. What was that transition like, just focusing on only one sport?
At times it was a little more tough, but like I said, I really do love football. And it really is, you know, a lifelong passion of mine. And like, I want to continue football as long as I can, whether it's coaching, playing, or anything. But I'd say the biggest transition was just coming from high school to college is just the time management. You know, some people might think, oh, you're cutting it down to one sport, so you might have more free time or whatnot. But, you know, especially at the Division I level, college athletics, regardless of the sport, it's a full-time job. It's like a 50, 60-hour week, in my opinion. And so I just had to get really good at managing my time, understanding, you know, that there has to be a balance between school, football, and social life. And I had to make sure I did a good job at times of stepping away from football and just kind of cooling off. Because like I said, you know, I'm always doing so much with it that at times, especially as, you know, an 18, 19-year-old freshman, it can be a little bit overwhelming. So, you know, making sure you step away and kind of taking a break from it is helpful, but you know, I don't regret it at all. And I mean, I think I've adjusted well to the college athletic football lifestyle, and I'm just going to keep going from there.
And Brandon, while doing our research, we found that you're a National Honor Society member. So succeeding not only on the field, but also in the classroom seems like it's very important to you. In college, how have you balanced both schoolwork and football?
You know, it's tough. And I think any football college athlete is going to say that. But, you know, one thing that we have going on here at this University of Dayton is, you know, we really do take athletics seriously. I believe we lead our conference in just almost about every category possible for awards given out as far as academics. And, you know, our coaches do a great job at, you know, making sure that we take our studies seriously, because we, you know, they send the message to us clearly that, you know, we're all not going to go to the NFL or have an opportunity to play at the next level. And so you obviously have to have life after football. And so we do things like, you know, mandatory study hours and whatnot. And it kind of goes back to what I said earlier about just understanding time management. And, you know, in high school, I was, you know, fortunate enough to be, you know, intelligent enough to not necessarily need to study all the time. But, you know, in college, that's not the case. And it was a bit of a shell shock at first, but, you know, I was just able to kind of, you know, learn the ropes fast and understand, like, if I really want to succeed in football and in school, I have to make sure that, you know, I'm taking care of business on the field. But in the classroom, you know, I'm like really spending quality time studying. And it's, like I said, it's a challenge at first, but I think I've done a decent job at it. I believe I've made the dean's list almost every semester I've been here so far. So hopefully I can keep that running.
We researched. You have made the dean's list every semester. And then deciding, I know we're keeping on the academics part, but I do want to talk a little bit about your decision to major. We found management information systems. What went into that?
Yeah, so that was a big struggle for me in college. You know, freshman year, that was one thing that was pretty frustrating for me, was trying to figure out a major. And I actually came into the University of Dayton undecided. And then I decided I want to go to the engineering route because, you know, I heard about how much money engineers made and, you know, the opportunities. But then when I really started to talk, I actually went to a few companies that had multiple different roles and people with multiple different majors and talked around. And that's when I really learned about, like, the whole IT industry and how this world really is kind of flipping over to all technology. I mean, that's what management information system, it deals with, you know, business management mixed with IT. And so I just really did realize that, you know, like after college, after football is over, if I have some IT knowledge under my belt, some programming knowledge under my belt, some cybersecurity management knowledge under my belt, it's really going to open doors for me. And, you know, my mom, she works for a government contractor, Northrop Grumman. And she told me, for example, like programmers who are in the cybersecurity field, they practically write their paychecks because they're so needed. And, you know, that need's only going to go up from here. Because like I said, this world is going to be all technology before we know it.
And Brandon, let's switch to on the field now. As a safety, especially early on in your career, you might find some time playing in the special teams. Whether or not you did play in the special teams, how important do you think it is to also be able to contribute in the special teams?
I think it's huge. And that's one thing that our head coach, Rick Chamberlain, he does a really good job at, is preaching about how important special teams are and how fast a special teams play can really flip the momentum or the scoreboard of a game. And, you know, honestly, special teams is really where I found my way on the field the fastest here at UD. I remember freshman year, I did burn my red shirt and I was fortunate enough to play as a freshman. But out of the 11 games on defense, I believe I only played in four of them. And I appeared in all 11 games. And those seven other games that I played in were all special teams. I was on every single special team that you can be on. And that was really where I got a chance to, for one, kind of show, you know, how bad I wanted it and like what I could do on the field. But also it was good for me because it was able to kind of like show me the game, the speed of the game, to, you know, kind of set me up for in the future with like this year and next year, now having even more experience under my belt. So now the game's even a little bit more slower for me. And yeah, we here at UD, I, like I said, we take academics very seriously. Like, you know, a lot of programs might not do, and a lot of programs might also look over special teams. They might want a really good offense, really good defense, but you know, that's another thing is we like to pay attention to little things, and special teams is something that I really do believe we take more serious than a lot of other teams. We spend a big part of our practices dealing with special teams. And so, yeah, it's definitely something that could swing the momentum of a game without a doubt.
Yeah, especially safeties, defensive backs getting on the field. Sometimes it isn't always starting as a freshman. I think for very few guys we've interviewed, they come in starting 12, 13 games a year. So that's the area that kind of separates players, and it separates teams, like you're talking about with you guys and focusing on that in practice. So I want to touch on what's the culture like at Dayton? What's the football team culture at the school you're attending?
I'd say right off the bat, the culture that I can give you is it's going to be a team that is 100% going to fight for four quarters regardless of the score. And it's a team that's disciplined. You know, talking to, especially to guys, like discipline and technique sound without a doubt. And like I was about to say, is like talking to guys who have like upperclassmen who I played with when I was a freshman and sophomore who have gone on to have pro days and gone on to, you know, train in mini camps and stuff like that. And even Adam Troutman, who is potentially a first round draft pick. The biggest thing I notice is when like a lower FCS school like Dayton, when players get the opportunity to step on the same field as all these FBS guys like Adam did and like former players like Christian Searles did. And I talk to him after, and even when I watch him, I notice that it seems like, although at times they might not be necessarily as, you know, athletic, the technique that like we are taught and just the way we go about things within the 4 years at Dayton, it rolls over into events like that when, you know, the guys that you're playing with are freak athletes. And, you know, it almost seems like their whole life they depended on being freak athletes and just being more athletic than the other guy. Where, like, you know, here our culture is all about discipline, doing your job. Doing your technique sound, you know, responsibilities. And I really do think it sets us up for a lot of success. And I think that's exactly why our program is consistently successful every single year.
Talking about success, Brandon, you guys were 8-3, had a 4-game winning streak to end the season on a high. For you as an individual, what are your goals for next season?
First and foremost goal as an individual, and I guess you can kind of say this is a team goal, but it's really to win a championship. I remember in high school, I was on a team, and, you know, great guys, great coaches, don't get me wrong, but we didn't win a lot of football games, and it was a very frustrating process for me. And I remember getting recruited, seeing Dayton's record, seeing how successful they always were. And I remember thinking, like, you know, I don't want to go somewhere where I'm not going to win football games. And so when I came here and I got into this winning program, it was huge. And I realized it was a shot to win a ring, you know, win a championship. And I was talking to a recruit's dad not too long ago, and I was telling him how our defense is returning. And we got some upfront guys who are coming back who are going to be more experienced. And he made the comment, and he said, well, hopefully they're not too experienced because, you know, that might take away from your stats as far as tackles and interceptions and stuff. And I told him, I said, listen, if I didn't play a snap on that football team last year, I would trade that for the world for a championship. And I really do mean that. So that first and foremost is, you know, my individual or team goal, whatever you want to call it, is to win the championship next year. And I'd say the other goal is to be more assignment sound. Me and my defensive coordinator, we would talk a lot, and he said in his opinion, my biggest flaw last year was I would try and do too much, meaning I would try and cover up errors by, you know, potentially the front seven that we have or other DBs, and at times it would even cause me to be out of place a bit. And so I think one of my biggest goals is to just be within my own lane, you know, be focused on my own job, and just be a more silent sound.
Brandon, touching on, you mentioned defensive backs coach, defensive coordinator, even your other cornerback safeties who are in that room with you, how important is it to have a strong relationship with the other guys on your defense and the coaches who are helping you defensively?
Oh, it's huge. You know, offense, I talk about it all the time with my guys, offense and defense, they differ in a lot of aspects of the game. And I think one way they differ is, I might be a little biased being a defensive guy, but I really do believe that to have a successful defense, you have to have chemistry and you have to have each other's back. Because, you know, the name of the game with football nowadays is these powerhouse offenses who are going to run up a lot of points, you know, make these big plays. And so as a defense, your back is against the wall a lot of times. And, you know, guys are going to get beat a lot of times. That's just a part of the game. But I think having those close relationships and, you know, really being able to look across the field at a guy in the eyes and understand, like, he's going to do anything for you, and for him to understand you do anything for him is huge. Because a lot of about what a successful defense is about is really about how bad you want it. And, you know, just understanding the guy across from you is not going to beat you. And I think when, you know, you're thinking that mentality and you look around and you got 10 other guys who are down to do the same thing and have your back through absolutely anything, I think that just adds fuel to the fire. And, you know, we have leadership meetings every Wednesday night as a team. And we learn different leadership skills, and we do a lot of team functions outside of football. And you know, I really do try and touch base with everybody on the team every once in a while. I'll just send them a text message or talking to them, whether it's another senior or it's a freshman. Because I really do believe team chemistry is huge. You know, without team chemistry, like I said, you're not gonna necessarily not be able to count on a guy, but you're not going to, you know, want to do absolutely anything for that guy if you don't really look at him and, you know, deem him as one of your brothers. So I think relationships in football, that's like the name of the game.
Brandon, you just mentioned how chemistry helps you guys succeed on the field. Senior year next year, how are you going to take on a leadership role?
You know, next year I'm hoping at least that I can potentially be voted as one of the team captains on the team. I think that's, you know, out of any accomplishment I could have, that would be probably the biggest accomplishment I could have in my personal opinion. And I'm really just going to try and be a guy who, you know, sets an example good every single day, whether it's on the field or off the field, and kind of just show guys the ropes. You know, these 4 years here, you can ask almost anybody on my team and they'll tell you that I've always been a pretty vocal guy, even as a freshman. And that's just because I really do have a love and a passion for the game, because I just really want to win. And so, you know, I'm going to always try and be as vocal as possible. But I think one thing I just want to really make sure I do is, even behind closed doors when I'm with guys, to always be setting the right example. Because I understand, you know, being a senior, people, especially on your team, are always going to be looking at you, and they're always going to be looking up to you, and they're always going to want to ask you questions. So I think the most effective way to be a leader next year is, you know, just to set the tone and just really be a great teammate. Like I said, on and off the field.
And Brandon, in terms of your training and study habits throughout your career, more experience, transitioning from a high school where you played three sports, now focusing on football, have your study habits in terms of studying film change in your training in the off season?
So for one, my studying of film has increased and improved tremendously from, you know, even last year and even freshman year, even, you know, in high school. That's one thing this year that I really tried to take serious. I mean, before the season even started, Coach Overman, my position coach and the defensive coordinator, I contacted him and I was like, hey, like, so it was going into my junior year and I understood that, you know, I had really good potential to be a starter and, you know, a big role in the defense. And I contacted him. I was like, hey, I really want to learn how to watch film this year. Because prior to that, you know, I watched film and I put the time in, but sometimes I wondered if I, you know, was looking for the right things. And, you know, he sat down with me multiple times and he sat down with our group and he would like show us things to look for. And he really taught us how to break down a team. And so this year, I definitely for sure watched a lot more film and was a lot more effective while watching the film. As far as training, that's going to be, you know, right now we're in a workout period as a team, and it's like an eight week long period. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, we have 7 a.m. lifting. Tuesday, Thursday, we have 6 a.m. running. And each of those are about an hour to, you know, 2.5 hours. And that's really all about just going as hard as you can with the guys. This is probably the most intense training we have all year because the whole team is together and we're really just getting after it. And then I'm going to roll over into spring ball. And then after spring ball in the summer, that's when I'm really going to hit training hard again. You know, I want to, next year I have a goal of playing at from 205 to 210, but as fast as I've ever been. And so, you know, this summer, I understand that that's going to be the time leading into the season when I need to really peak. Because that's what I did a really good job at last year, was going into the season, like a week before camp started, I set a personal record in almost every single test that we test here at UD, as far as like weight room and running. And I peaked, and I think it really did roll over to the season. And so that's something I really want to try and do again, is, you know, peak at the right time, just before the season, so I can roll over and, you know, do it all again.
Brandon, we've seen the success that you've shown on the field, a lot of potential for next year. But in your opinion, what traits make for a great safety?
For one, a great safety needs to be a guy who isn't afraid to speak up and who is a very good leader. I like to always say that safety is a quarterback of a defense, and, you know, especially on our defense, we run a 4-2-5, and a lot of plays, you know, we obviously get our calls in from our defensive coordinator, but, you know, 9 times out of 10, the safety is the guy back there who is making adjustments, on-field adjustments due to, you know, formations and motions and whatnot. You know, you can't be back there and you can't be timid with making a decision or making a call or making an adjustment. And so I think being a vocal leader and a decisive guy is very important. And another thing is, I mean, I might be a little biased again, but I really do think that, you know, safeties have to be all around one of the best athletes on the field. And I say that in terms of, you know, especially in our defense, safeties are expected to come up and make just as many tackles and hit just as hard as our middle linebackers are. But they're also expected to cover guys who are just as fast as you know, the guys at the corners have to cover. So we kind of have to do the best of both worlds as far as, you know, pass protector, like in the pass game and in the run game. And so I think a big part of being a successful safety is being big enough to, you know, come up and stop the run game, but also being fast enough to run with a 4-4 guy.
Brandon, talking about defense scheme, you said 4-2-5. For those who don't know, what type of role did you play on this Dayton defense last season?
Yeah, so a 4-2-5 is it's just a 4 down linemen. It's 2 linebackers and it's 5 DBs. And the role that I played is we have a term called 2 high safeties. That pretty much means that 2 safeties are, you know, drop back at all times. And we can run multiple coverages out of that, just, you know, depending on what the team's tendencies are. But I was just one of the high safeties. So there was last year, the 2 starters were me at the left safety, and then at the right safety was a guy who graduated this year named Tim Simon. But, you know, like I said, the big role that I had on the defense last year was just making adjustments. You know, working with Tim, we built up a lot of chemistry, me and him did, and we were able to do some things together to, you know, potentially try and, you know, hide our scheme, hide our coverage, trick the quarterback. And we were really able to communicate well, which rolled over into helping us, you know, make adjustments on the field for the corners and linebackers. I think I had a big role in making adjustments on the field. And like I said, I was just one of the 2 safeties that were back at all times.
Brandon, getting that first interception, making that first tackle, getting that first sack is a very special moment. Well, for you, when you got your first interception, what was that feeling like?
Oh, it was surreal. I was fortunate enough. One of the 2 or 3 games I played in freshman year, I was able to, my first start ever, actually, I was able to get an interception. It was a tip ball, and it kind of just went my way, and I was in the right place at the right time. And it's funny because I remember when I caught it, you almost kind of like freeze, you know, especially as a freshman. Like I was like, oh crap, you know, I have the football in my hands, now I have to run. But it was fun. I mean, that's every DB's, you know, dream. We don't get a lot of opportunities to make plays on balls because, you know, there's five receivers on the field, and you might be fortunate enough if that quarterback chooses to throw to, you know, you're one out of the five receivers. And so, like I said, we don't get a lot of opportunity to make plays on the ball. And so, you know, whenever you can get a chance to get an interception, that is any DB's, you know, dream. And it was definitely a surreal moment. It's something that I will never forget ever.
And talking about interceptions, it'd be hard not to mention your 3 against Drake last season. I mean, that was extremely impressive. I mean, finishing that year on those types of high notes, then FCS All-American type nods. How are those performances getting a lot of honors in the offseason, a lot of hype heading into next year as one of the top defensive backs in the FCS? How are you using that as kind of motivation or confidence to take your game to the next level?
You know, I do like to, you know, think that I did a really good job last year. I believe I did. But I had a meeting with my defensive coordinator, and you know, what he said to me really spoke to me. And I really did like it. And he looked at me and he said, you know, 2019 is behind you. And as of now, you've done absolutely nothing in 2020. And at first I was like, well, damn, you know, I guess, but you know, the more I thought about it, like, he's right. I haven't done anything in 2020, and I have so much more to prove. You know, I've gotten one good year under my belt as a DB, but I have a whole nother season to play. And so I think for me, you know, the biggest motivation I have is just not wanting to fall off, or, you know, like the fear of being average. Like I don't want to graduate and people think that, you know, I was just another DB. Like I want to graduate, and I want to be known as, first off, a great leader, but I want to be known as a great football player. And really my motivation every day is that. And it's the fact that, you know, I'll never get this opportunity again to be a football player. You can only be a football player one period in your lifetime. And once your time's up, your time's up. And it's kind of scary to think about, but, you know, it really does put a fire in you. So that's for sure my motivation, is just not wanting to be average, and, you know, just understanding, like, I really do want to be remembered once I graduate.
And, Brandon, there are a lot of talented safeties now playing at the next level. Is there anyone that you feel you play similar to?
Tyree Matthews, Honey Badger. You know, although he did come from LSU, which is a much bigger program, I would say that I do like to try and play a little bit like him. They call him the Honey Badger. And the reason, for, you know, for people who don't know even what a honey badger is, the reason why he's called a honey badger is because, you know, he's not the biggest guy, but he'll never back down from a fight. And he's just scrappy. And that's one thing is, you know, I might be in the talk of, you know, being a little undersized at, you know, 6'2" 205 to 210. But that's one thing. I mean, you can ask anybody who's ever met me on the football field, is like, I'll never be timid, and I'll never back down from a fight. You know, I really am a scrappy guy. I do like to play with a chip on my shoulder, and I absolutely hate losing. And so, yeah, I think if any safety in the league, I think he'd be the one that I would say I played probably most similar to.
Brandon, want to touch on, we've seen the production on the field when watching film definitely stand out, but GMs or scouts are going to have the film. What they need to know is who they're going to get, and you off the field, the person in the locker room. What would you want to let them know about who you are?
I would definitely want them to know right away that I consider myself one of those guys that, you know, when you hear people talk about, you know, professional players at the moment, and they call them locker room guys, I would really want, you know, people to know that I would definitely be a locker room guy. And what people say, or what they mean by when they say a locker room guy, is they mean a guy who, you know, can go in the locker room and make an impact directly, as far as like building relationships and talking to guys and, you know, really building the team chemistry. That's one thing here. I always try, like I said, I always try and, you know, make sure I'm talking and interacting with not only seniors and juniors, but, you know, sophomores and freshmen. Cause you know, I want to bring them along. And another thing is, you know, I would want people to know and GMs to know that, you know, I'm a kid who I take my whole football career and life, into a 24-hour day aspect, meaning you're going to get the best out of me on the field, you know, in workouts, early morning workouts, practice, games, all of that, of course, you know, that's what great football players do, but you're going to get the best out of me off the field too. You know, like right now I'm currently, you know, working my tail off in the academic room, but you know, within my 3 years here so far at UD, I've yet to get in trouble. I've yet to have an off field, issue. I don't ever want to be known as a guy who gets in trouble, goes out and, you know, parties a ton and is a liability off the field. Cause that's not what I am at all. So yeah, I think, you know, what I would want people to know is with me, you know, I'm just all around, I'm trying to be the best person that I can be. And, you know, I'll never be somebody who's ever going to want to or try to, bring the team down. I'll never be in a situation where I'm going to put the team in harm's way.
Great response, Brandon. And for our last question, for any rising high school football player, what is one piece of advice you would give to them?
One piece of advice I could give to any high school football player would probably be just to, you know, take it all in, and to really live in the moment. I think high school sports are, you know, second to none in regards to, you know, when you become a college athlete, don't get me wrong, it's fun. It really is fun, but it's a job as well. And it's a business and everything is serious. And you know, it's a lot more cutthroat. It really is. And in high school, you know, you're with your hometown buddies, guys you grew up with your whole life. And it's almost a little more kickback. And that's when you can, you know, really just enjoy what you're doing and who you're doing it with. And, you know, the city that you're doing it for. And so I would tell any of them to never take that time, you know, I would for granted, just to live in the moment and soak all of it up in, because it really is a great process. And, you know, I'm sure if you ask just about any football player, they're going to say that, you know, high school football is one of the best times of their life just because you're playing with your brothers you grew up with and you're representing your city. And so, yeah, definitely just be to, you know, take every moment like it's your last.
That was Brandon Easterlich. We really appreciate your time. Good luck next season. We hope to see the Dayton Flyers in the championship game.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate you guys having me again. It really does mean a lot.